Well, here I am. I don't think I'm ever going to get this silence to go because I got this darn cricket in here. It's 9:30 at night. I took a pretty good nap here. I wake up early so I can get home. I'm thinking about my life. I don't know. Don't really know what to do moving forward. Don't know what just don't know. And I guess the big question is, if you want to take Christ as your example, there's so many aspects of Christ's life that we really can't duplicate. I don't know. I'm gonna get up. Get away from this cricket a little bit. Of course, once I get out of there, the cricket's a lot less prominent. I'm out on my vestibule here, looking up at the stars. Although I've got my glasses off, so I can't really see the stars. At least I can't see them as little pinpricks. Of course, now you can hear the wind, which is a wonderful thing. I don't know. That's my big thing. I don't know. It used to be I don't care, and what the world offers to me, I'm just not terribly interested in. I don't care. And the distractions that they give me, I don't care. And I'm not sure where this little sucker's living. It's making me crazy.
Anyway.
Lisa is really trying to help me be happy. But I don't think she knows how. And I don't know either. It's like she also, so you think this will make you happy? You go, I don't have a clue. I don't know. Oh. And I don't know if, do I need to ask Heavenly Father what I really want? Well, I certainly could. Oh, gosh darn thing. So, that's it. Father, I just need to... What should I do? My own patriarchal blessing says that I'll have help in finding my life's work and how I'll be happy and content in it. And you know what? I'm neither particularly happy and I'm certainly not content. And I don't know. Don't really know what to do about it. Got Lisa in the car. We're going on this trip. And the combination of the two has somewhat depleted our war chest, our savings. And it's really frightening, Lisa. As far as I'm aware of, Lisa will never have a war chest big enough for comfort. It can never be big enough. And that's really sad because I'm just completely uninspired by what I do. Anyway, thinking about the little kind of family sovereignty, I don't know what you call it, an appellation, a little saying, something that you want to have highlighted in whatever you've been saying, to say, Well, here it is. It's get married, have babies, become gods. And oh, I don't know. My head ends up being full of information that I really don't care about. It's like, what are your interests? And you go, I have no interests. My slog toward exaltation, and I swear Heavenly Father will just be forced to give it to me, because you know I meet all the criteria. He can't say no, although I'm sure there would be something to be said for that he would want to. Because who wants me around them? And I don't know what to do about that. Do what I do because I can't figure out anything better to do. My experiences are quite lucrative, and that's what's interesting to most people, is how lucrative it all is. And I kind of envy Andy Swap. I don't know if I really believed him when he said, "Oh, I've never been motivated by money." And I thought that was a little I don't want to say prideful, but a little really wishful thinking. I'm not sure money really matters much to me, but I don't have anything else to do with my time. So I trade it for money. And quite lucrative. Just reading an article about the fact that that more employers will now are making counteroffers, to hold on to a skill set, the talent. I don't know. It just seems so low to me. But it seems to please my wife very much. And of course, there's always the whole thing. Well, there's always inflation. You know, you can't make any less money than you already do. Of course, the implication out of that is one must always make more. I don't know what we're destined to try to, you know. I know Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are very generous. They help me an awful lot with many things. Is it ungrateful to look for other jobs? This was the first job offer I got. From walking away from Mesa Land. Lisa, oh, there was an interesting thing. One of the state senators who's the chairman of the Legislative Finance Committee and, things like that. What was his name? George Munoz, who was not often, but was derided by Greg Bush and I don't know if really by others, but nobody was disagreeing. And I don't know the man from Hades. But to know that there was a really long little article that he was proposing that Mesa Lands merge, and I find that term interesting. I would say be subsumed by, just take over Mesa Lance College, turn it into a situation that can be viable going forward. My little cricket friend's gotten quiet here. I keep hoping that I've seen the occasional lizard around the blister, and I was kind of hoping that one of them would come and eat that cricket and solve my problem. And maybe it looks like that he might have done it. Yay! Well, only time will tell. But anyway, it seems like people are getting very, very diplomatic about something that I had proposed. I'm trying to remember when I proposed it. Was it in early December of 2022? I'm trying to think. It might have been even earlier than that. It may have been early November. I don't remember. But it was quite a while back. And, then I put out the big email. I mean, I sent it to everybody. And boy, did I not garner any friends out of that. And I remember the fateful day. It was the day before Valentine's Day, 2 days after the twins' birthday. I basically said, depending on how things go today, I'll decide if I'm just going to resign as the chief information officer. And boy, I tell you, man, I got worked over from my executive board colleagues, and then there was a meeting with the HED heads, and I got pretty much tongue-lashed there by those people, or at least by the, I don't mean to be rude to anybody else at HED. The cabinet secretary over HED wouldn't even name me. I was just a title and a really unhappy and very annoyed person over, you know, the chief information officer will do this and will do that. It's like, wow, I'm not even a person. Didn't even name me. Could have said Mr. Nemro, but didn't. I was just a title, and I was like, ah, screw you. I think it's hilarious, because it was a big thing, everybody saying, well, you know, we don't really have a personal thing about whether it goes one way or the other, whether we stay independent or whether we don't. And there's some people that express, oh, we really want the school to stay independent. And you go, you guys do not. It says, this comes from people who have no concept of the cost and of the needed resources that a place like Mesa Lands on its own cannot produce, cannot command. And that's not to say anything bad about anybody there. It's just simply become an enterprise that a group of people of that size, a group of this size, and the kind of people that one can marshal to help in this, that it's not. It says, and my personal feeling that the higher education department is just spouting platitudes and not and I think just wants to make sure it saves face and says, well, we gave them money and we gave them this and we didn't shut them down earlier. And you go, maybe you should have, or maybe you should have come up with this earlier. Everybody's got just gargantuan pride. Anyway, it was really interesting that today I read the story and now nothing's happened of it. They're still lurching forward. The last time I looked at the staff directory, there were several, I think, pretty key people who were no longer on the list. Now, I'm trying to remember if they were ever on the list before, you know, like, but they're also looking for an HR director, which meant that the gentleman that had been the HR director, the hired HR director, was left. I don't blame him. I think we were friends. But anyway, yeah. The staff accountant that was hired, I forget her first name. Oh no. She's not on the list anymore. Anyway, the fellow they've got as the interim president right now is a really good guy. I like him. I always liked him. I don't really know what he thought of me ultimately. You know, there was so little time between me writing the letter, things going south. It was that same day, that February 13th, that he was named the interim president, the having left president, had not yet resigned his position yet. So it was kind of a thing. There's a lot of pressure just to go ahead and name somebody, even though they still had this president here. Now, you know, very shortly thereafter, maybe about a week, they got the resignation of the old president, Greg Bush, and, you know, he wasn't. Anyway, that's an interesting thing from today. I didn't really know what to think of it. The public communications person from HED said that HED did not have an opinion about which way it should go, which is hilarious. They certainly had a very strong opinion about it. In February. So much so that when I, you know, they said, and you're going to do training on this, on Genzibar, so it can be used better and more fully. And it's like, okay. I said, and my basic only thing was, I said, I'm really confused why we should be doing this if we might be, you know, this is personally, I think we should get taken in by another organization. And the first thing that they should be doing is that we should be learning that organization's policies and procedures so that we can better integrate with them. So we're having to kind of redo our entire business model. Why don't we do it that way? And boy, let me tell you, that did not go over well. It was like, okay, this is no. It was obvious that I was not going to go in the direction of the group. And so my continued presence
with the group was that you know, I just wasn't going with the group, and there's no point having, no point me being there in the midst of this. Plus, we were all taking a huge pay cut, a 15% pay cut in the name of austerity. So it's like, okay, all right, well, it says I can go and find better work and better pay someplace else. You know, I came here basically for the pay and maybe a little bit for something of the prestige, but honestly, I really didn't have the, I really didn't have the skill set to accomplish it. It was basically, I was basically a CIO in name only. Well, regardless, I didn't, I can't say I've ever, I've regretted doing it. I just find it interesting that, that the basic concept and idea for which I was taken to task is what's ultimately going to happen. I'm sure people will say, well, it's all your fault. And you're going, it is? I said, I haven't been there for many months. It says, and I have stayed completely out of it. It says, I really don't have much interest in doing anything of this sort. I'm looking possibly at a job at New Mexico State University, doing technical work for the Sunspot Solar Observatory up in the mountains. And can I be honest? I was just looking for a job that hopefully gives me a place to stay. Throws in a place to stay along with paying me decently. So I'm kind of looking at that as a possibility, at least to get me through until retirement, either of 58 and a half, I think, is the breakover. I forget. It's either my 58th birthday, which is coming up in 2 years, or 60, when I won't be particularly penalized for being below 60 years old. And which is 4 years, but to be honest, if I take 4 years, that'll be my last, and that'll be somewhat bad for my retirement. Frankly, I think working for 2 years at pay at least 70 will improve my pension. Working anymore will actually be detrimental to it. It'll actually erase better stuff, and or it'll start not being lucrative anymore. So looking at maybe 2 more years. But doing it so that I can contribute a little bit more to the pension, make the pension a little bit better. Oops, what happened here? I don't know.
So they're hearing the wind. Decided to get out of here. Oh, it's a good wind. It's pretty cool. This whole really hot wind, hot summer here at the crash site has really not been that bad at all. Cools off pretty decently at night. The fact that I have my water cans, I can kind of spray myself down during the at night. That really helps too. And I need to do these next 2 years or so. As staging for what I want to do next, which I don't know. I keep running back to this doctor of ministry and engaged wisdom, and that I want to do it in the name of family sovereignty. I've always been of a mind that you can do small things to make great things happen. There's scripture on this. To marshal somehow the forces of good behind the most important things, or the most important thing. And I think that when push comes to shove, the most important thing is family, the perpetuation of family. And that means couples marrying and having children. It's like I said, you know, get married, have babies, and become gods. These things are a natural progression. Definitely what people should be doing. Individuals shouldn't remain individuals very long. They should couple. And I mean men to women. Other couplings are worthless jokes in comparison. Because then you're supposed to have babies. Other couplings can't produce babies. And he says, oh, well, we can adopt. He says, but no, that's just shuffling kids around. This actually brings children into the world. Much more productive, much more God-like is to do this. Boy, you can hear the stuff rustling, huh? The actual degree program only costs $18,000. That's not even the price of a used car these days. And I probably need a different people than the ones I tend to
have associations with now, like through work. It's sports, it's movies, both of which I could care less about. And I think I need to find a peer group. And I guess we do that by saying what we're about and see who comes around to say, hi, hey, I'm for that too. And what you want to do with it, what would become the most effectual way to propagate the whole idea. And what's been coming to me lately is we need to get legislators, decision makers, people of influence to be part of that. And it seems like, and to approach it as ministry seems like the right way to do it, given the realities of things now. It wouldn't necessarily be a very academic thing. Even though my wife says, oh, you do so much research, and you go, well, I don't know. Research is okay, but it doesn't really influence very many people. Preaching about these things, evangelizing ideas, I think goes much further. And that really constitutes what I feel like would be the most effective use of maybe of my time and my efforts. Write books about it. Bake pies about it. What was that thing? It's from badges, things like that, to talk about how to get it done and one's own experiences with it. And it's so I keep coming back to it. And I keep coming back to, let's make a little bit of money. Actually, I've been thinking about trying to make the timing so that I'll actually have the 2 weeks that Lisa and I are going off to Scotland and Ireland. That would be a really good time to transition from this job to the next job. And I'm really quite interested to see how this is going to pan out. And so I guess we'll continue on this course. My poor Lisa Jane, she just keeps on saying, wait a minute, Jason, I thought you decided against that. And you go, well, you know, you try to say, oh, no, let's just keep going with the money. The money is more important than happiness or anything else. And I'm going, I don't know, I'm just, catatonic sometimes. Just don't know what I want to do. Or at work, you know, I don't really know what to do. Anyway, so, okay, I'm going to just gonna stop this. I need to go to bed. It's almost 10:30. So I'll stop this. Good night.